Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
It's April, and you know what that means. It's officially Autism Acceptance Month. This time of year is intended to spread awareness and acceptance of autism spectrum disorder, while organizations like Autism Wish work hard towards fundraising and charitable missions. But it's not all sunshine and roses. Today, we chat about the good, the bad, and the ugly surrounding this time of year and share our thoughts on the current social discussions.
Welcome to Embracing Autism, a podcast for parents of autistic children seeking advice and support while spreading awareness and acceptance of autism spectrum disorder. I'm Leah.
And I'm Matt.
And each week we will discuss our journey with autism and talk about how to embrace your child's individuality while providing guidance, tips, resources, and sharing our personal stories. This is
Embracing Autism.
Before we actually get started, I do want to give a reminder to everyone. So for those of you who are caught up with the podcast, you know about our pregnancy news, you know that we are due soon. I just want to give another reminder out there to listeners of the podcast, viewers of the podcast. We are due in about a week and a half or so, maybe 2 weeks, a little less than that. So there is a very strong possibility that we will randomly drop off the face of the earth for a bit, and there may not be a podcast episode right after this one. We're not really sure. It's all kind of up in the air. We weren't able to pre-record anything because of how sick I've been. So I just wanted to let everyone know right off the bat, be prepared that once baby starts coming, like, we might have to put a pause to the podcast for a short bit until we get that all situated.
And the labor and delivery room are kind of against us running a podcast from in-house. So
yeah, I thought it might be weird to record from labor and delivery. Yeah, thought maybe so that'd be a little off-putting.
I think it's frowned upon, but not quite against the rules. But anyway, we will refrain from that.
Exactly. So I just wanted to get that right off the bat. The other thing I wanted to mention for Autism Acceptance Month, those of you who are listeners only of the podcast, you might not know, but we are currently running a fundraiser for US-based listeners, and we have partners with Babies on Broadway, which is a DME provider, for a chance to win the Green Wonderful Wagon VW4. That is that Wonderful Wagon that we've bragged about multiple times on the podcast. We absolutely love it. It's been a lifesaver. And the VW4 model is a really cute, like, Volkswagen buggy model. So it's been like a huge hit. People love it. So they've been generous enough to sponsor that for us for our fundraiser. Our goal is to raise $2,000 in funding towards our programs at Autism Wish. So once we hit that funding goal, we will announce the winner. Basically, the way it works is each $1 donation to our Give, Send, Go will grant you one entry to the drawing. You can also get additional entries through the fundraiser shop. So that is just a piece of little information for those who don't follow social media. If you're interested in that, just go to autismwish.org and there's a little button that says Wonderful Wagon Fundraiser. All the information's there, including how to enter. So that's all the business side of things. Let's go ahead and get started with Autism Acceptance Month. We wanted to talk about this because it tends to be kind of touchy. I don't know if you guys out there as parents have noticed. I'm sure you have noticed. But when it comes to this time of month, it gets really tense on the internet and on social media. And we've noticed over the years, because we started this about 3 years ago, at the beginning, it was a little bit of patchy waters. But I feel like more so recently, there's really this tension around Autism Acceptance Month. And it seems to be because there's two sides of the coin here in terms of what the purpose and goal is for the month. For us at Autism Wish, we basically are focusing on the acceptance piece. We're looking into more accessibility, inclusion, those sorts of things. But there seems to be like a lot of people who are more focused on the social justice issues, the labels and the symbols and things like that. And so what I've noticed is there's a huge clash that tends to happen during this month, to the point where advocates like us, other pages, other charities and organizations actually come under attack during April. And I found that to be a really strange phenomenon because it's kind of like the opposite of the intention of the month.
Well, it's interesting because it's like whoever is like yelling like, oh, okay, you're not embracing autism enough or whatever. It's like they're trying to get like brownie points for what they're saying versus like what they're actually doing. It kind of is like a weird narrative that they're kind of pushing, because rather than just saying like, obviously we support autism and trying to fund different programs and such, so we try to do things as well as talk. I mean, Leah and I tend not to really shut up very much, but I mean, we're not like aggressive, like in your face naturally. We're just kind of more laid back. But it seems like the fight is like, unless you are like very like aggressive and like almost like domineering to like other individuals, you're not doing enough to like push the envelope for like autism acceptance, which is not really in at least my nature. Like I've never been like a super pushy person to try and get anything. So, I mean, I feel like there's so many better ways to have like a conversation, or I mean, to put together like a grassroots effort to kind of build things up that way. So it is very interesting getting attacked for people kind of saying like you're not doing enough. And it's kind of like, well, we're trying to do what we can with the abilities that we have and the constraints that we are contending with. So it is definitely an interesting situation. And yeah, it is kind of annual that it kind of pops up where people are kind of pointing fingers and accusing others of not really doing enough for the cause. So
I don't know if you have noticed this because you're not on social media too much, whereas I am a little bit more involved in like the social conversations, ironically. But I've noticed that around this time of month, there seems to be kind of like an increase in the targeting and attacking of like parents on social media. Because you tend to get more of the puzzle piece symbols because people are whipping them out now for awareness. People will be showing off their shirts and merch, telling their stories of their child or their association to autism. And because there's more involvement and people are being more outspoken about their stories during this month, it tends to attract more of that negativity too. And it tends to lead to more of those clashes. Personally, I just feel like it is counterintuitive to the mission of Autism Acceptance Month. I can understand some of these arguments. Like, for example, I prefer Autism Acceptance Month over Autism Awareness Month because at least in my bubble, in my sphere, people are aware, so I can take it the next step. But I know that there's people that aren't aware, so that's still valid for certain places and cultures, and it just varies by social circle. But what I find difficult is not being kind of put off by all the negativity in that month. And I've seen some social advocates for like autism, social media influencers, for example, who tend to pull back during this month and tend to dread it. So I'm not going to name names because I don't want to call anyone out. But there's some people that I follow that are pretty big names in the autism world, and they voice their opinions quite clearly, basically saying like, oh, great, it's that time of year again. It's almost here. The dreaded April. This is when things are going to go crazy. And it's really interesting for me because actually diagnosed autistic people during this month actually seem to dread it because of all the conflict that comes with it.
I think kind of from a like logical standpoint, if what you say is different from what you do, as far as like for like the cause of like bringing like awareness and acceptance for autism. So I feel like a lot of people who are real quick to start yelling at people or try and tell people, oh, you can't use that, you're not doing it right, there's more talk and less like actual effort behind it. So I think that's kind of what's also getting caught up, because you have a lot more people, because it is a like established month for like autism. So people are like now coming up, oh, we have to like raise awareness. Now it's the month to raise awareness. So they're kind of like going above and beyond to make sure that their voices are heard. But I feel like sometimes if your voice is heard, there's not much else that's following through. You're not really necessarily moving the needle unless you're actually like accomplishing something or helping others or doing something positive. If you're just kind of voicing a negative thought that you're having, it doesn't benefit anyone. It doesn't help any situation. So that's kind of where I fall, where it's like, it seems unfortunate that, yeah, a lot of people do come out of the woodwork this time of year saying negative things to various people who are trying to actually make some type of difference in the world. And there's kind of some pushback. So it is unfortunate, but I'm not really sure if there is a way around it, because essentially, if you tell the people who are voicing their opinions, I would imagine to them, they believe that they are doing something by voicing a negative comment or something or attacking parents or whatever they're doing. They might feel that they are actually actually making a difference when, in fact, it isn't really helping much of anyone.
The last couple of years, one of the things that I've done for Autism Wish is I have done like a daily autism-related fact on social media. This year, because of the pregnancy, the sickness, and all this stuff, I've not been able to really do anything. We've had to hold back this month, unfortunately. But what I tend to do is try to put a spotlight on the more, I guess, what people would consider, quote unquote, negative aspects of autism. And people actually did not like that. And I get it. I had some people making comments about, oh, why are you making autism look so negative? It should be celebrated. You should be putting more positive facts. And the way that I see it is, this whole podcast is like us constantly reinforcing the positivity and the sunnier sides of autism. And so we do plenty of that throughout the year. I feel like part of Autism Acceptance Month is to really help share with the public what actual struggles autistic individuals go through. Because my struggle and the thing that I fear is that when we go to this mega autism acceptance, mega autism positivity, we can actually end up hurting the autism community by silencing the real everyday struggles that autistic people go through. My concern has always been, if we focus all our energy 24/7 with just the positive side and never talk about like the high elopement and drowning risk, never talk about the high bullying risk or the high like self-injury risk or any of these other things, it's actually doing a disservice to the autism community, and it doesn't help us find a solution for these things. So that's something that has surprisingly been controversial and we have been attacked for in the past. I just found that really interesting that during April, that tends to be one of those big arguments.
As far as sharing both good and bad aspects of or challenges that autistic individuals go through, it's making it realistic. You're talking about like, oh, putting a bad image for like the autistic community. I'm saying for a community at large, everyone, if a person tunes into a podcast where all they do is focus on all the happy and great aspects of autism, and they don't talk about like meltdowns, the challenges there, sensory overload, as far as just the rigid choices where there's extreme food restrictions or needing like food therapy, if they only focus on just the positive aspects, then this person clearly has no idea what autism is. And so if they encounter someone who is autistic and they're like, oh, why are you acting this way? Why are you having a meltdown? I don't understand. It's because of the great disservice, because you're not showing a honest, truthful explanation of, okay, what are the challenges? What are the good aspects? Because I think of like Hollywood kind of, because if you see a movie with an individual or a character who is autistic, they kind of portray them in a couple different lights. And one of them is like, okay, super genius, can do all these things, but they don't genuinely show the struggles and challenges that they have. My family was recommending, oh, there's this great movie and you'll love it because like the main character, he's autistic and all this. And we watched the movie and we're like, that's a superhero movie. That's not an autistic person. Like that doesn't fly. Those don't meet up. But because they just hear in the movie, oh, he's autistic, and they immediately think, oh, like that's autism. And it's like, no, those two do not like align like that would. Like there's challenges that go that wouldn't actually work. That's just not what it is. So I feel like in those instances, it's kind of doing a disservice. I mean, I went to school in North Dakota. So I think of like, if all I ever did was tell people like, oh, North Dakota, it's the most beautiful state in the entire country. It's warm all the time, green grass, nice pastures. And I don't say like, you're going to get a lot of snow. It's going to be real cold and you're probably going to freeze like the first time you're up there. Then I'm just not really being honest about what is North Dakota. So like, it's just showing the good without any pushback or anything like that. And I feel like that's worse than honestly not saying anything, because you're pushing a false narrative altogether.
Yeah. To me, the concept of autism acceptance and embracing autism is being able to accept and embrace both the good and the bad. And I know obviously the bad is very difficult because, I mean, the bad can be very dangerous. It can be like extreme eating disorders. It can be elopement risks that can risk their lives. So when I say accepting those things or embracing those things, I don't mean the actual negative part, but just accepting that that is part of autism, essentially. When people try to sugarcoat it during Autism Acceptance Month, it just, to me personally, is a disservice because we aren't really educating the public to the accuracy of autism. And there's a couple consequences that come with that. The two that I think come to mind the quickest to me is, one, if society thinks and we successfully convince them that autism is just thinking differently and it's just having a different superpower, then society is not going to be empathetic when they see the kid who's banging their head on the wall, or the person like myself when I go and get a job and I'm struggling to communicate or understand the requirements of the job because I have that executive dysfunction and processing delay. They're not going to have empathy. They're just going to be like, oh, you're just a bad employee or something like that. So it's really important to continue to highlight the struggles while also at the same time saying, despite the struggles, we should learn to embrace these individuals for their strengths and the complements of the autism in terms of how you can essentially make up for some of those things. Maybe my executive disorder is not great, but I'm really great now at like hyper-focusing and organizing because I'm so frazzled. You could hear it in my voice right now. Like, you could hear me struggling to put my words together. That is part of my executive dysfunction. And what I do is I compensate for it. And because I've had to compensate for it throughout my life, it has forced me to be an almost anally organized person. When I'm at work, I put scripts for myself. I have to-do lists for myself. I create like these tracking systems, color coding systems. And it's not because that's something that comes natural to me. It's because it's something that I've had to put into place to organize myself to keep me on task. But employers will see that and they'll be like, wow, this person is super organized. So it can be used towards a positive, but unless you learn how to accommodate that, you go through whatever therapy is necessary, you get whatever assistance from the public or social supports, then you can't really do it on your own. So that's why it's important to have both the awareness aspect and the acceptance aspect, because you have to get them from point A of really struggling to point B, giving those accommodations or at least being understanding of those accommodations in order to get somebody to be able to basically properly function in society. That was a big mouthful, but that's my life experience.
I was going to say, it's funny because you give like the description of like you on your average day, like color coding everything and putting everything like down nicely. I have like a day binder. I like flip to the next day and I'll jot some notes down. And that kind of is like my like lifeline. But then again, like I do occasionally forget your typical.
I was about to say, how's that working out for you?
Hey. The kids get to their therapy. And most of the time, I get what I need done on time. So
because I remind you, because I organize it in my calendar.
but no, I'm like the complete opposite of that world. Mostly because like I do not use my phone. I don't like using my phone for like setting up calendars or whatever. So it's interesting hearing like your perspective of like accommodations out of necessity, where I don't do that and I just kind of run the risk of like, will I remember something? Like maybe like,
see, that's where I end up being the wife having to pull up that slack and then I have to come up and hound you and be like, don't forget this, don't forget that.
We're good.
I am your phone calendar.
There we go.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons that I think the whole Autism Acceptance Month does struggle a bit. There's these two sides of the coin that are constantly, it seems like, in conflict. As a group, we're not really marching towards the same goal. It seems like we have different goals and we're kind of scattered everywhere. And because of that, it's inefficient. One of the other things that tends to happen, unfortunately, that I see a lot during this month is that small organizations or even big organizations like Autism Wish, Autism Speaks, but I've seen other mom and pop or influencers that are just one person that do a lot of good with educating the public. We all kind of get targeted, and it tends to be the most during this month because apparently we don't do enough, which I find really interesting.
We had someone like make a comment like, oh, like they don't give away enough. And it's like, we both work for jobs for a living. Like, we don't make money off of this. We lose money.
Yeah, we lose money.
We lose money every single year. We've never made a dime off of this. It's just kind of interesting, like reading a comment saying like, oh, like when we randomly give out like $100 a month to like a random kid who's in the drawing, it's like, oh, they're not doing enough. And it's like, well, yeah, because we're like funding it out of our normal 9-to-5 jobs to then pay it forward.
With no tax exemption.
Right. So it's like, okay, like, yeah, this, like, we're trying to do like charity. And it's like people commenting saying, oh, they're not doing enough charity. It's like, well, what are you doing? Like, I mean, I mean, we do the best we can. Like, I mean, obviously, like if we were actually a multi-million dollar business, sure, we could do more than like $100 a month or whatever giveaway. Like, sure. But the fact that like we have to have our normal jobs to actually fund this because we don't make any money whatsoever on this, like it's a little bit different. So it's kind of hard to function when like you kind of get that mindset where people are under the assumption that we don't work normal jobs, that this is a full-time business that we have. And it's not the case.
But I think for me personally, what bothers me more is not so much that. It's more like the focus of what's important. Like to me and to us, the reason that we do this is because we're passionate about it. Like we run things at a net loss because we have experienced firsthand the struggles with our kids. We have seen the struggles that our kids have gone through with learning language, making friends, getting bullied, having sensory issues, meltdowns, elopement, all of these things. Like we've seen directly how it's impacted not just our kids, but our family. And I have experienced a lot of discrimination for my disability growing up. So I anticipate these things happening for my child as well. That has motivated me deeply to want to do this out of compassion and really out of wanting to actually make a change and a difference. Seems like nowadays, people are more interested in just like, what can I get? Like, it just seems like it's more about money or like, give me stuff and not so much about like the movement and like the importance of the goal, the end goal. If I had a choice of, I would like my child to get a $300 sensory swing versus I would like my child to go through a program that's really going to get her to a place where she can make friends as she comes out of that, being able to have a buddy and being able to have self-confidence and being able to learn how to navigate life with less anxiety. That to me is far more valuable than like a sensory swing, for example. Both of those things are valuable, but I just feel like when it comes to Autism Acceptance Month and like the movement, I am more interested in getting my kids the emotional and social support that they need rather than like the physical thing. Right. I mean, if that makes any sense.
That's true. And I mean, for me, I guess it's kind of the idea of like, do more, say less. If I had to sum it up into like a little catchphrase.
The irony, because we run a podcast.
I know, we never shut up. But the idea of like, do more, say less. Like, I mean, it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm going to do some grand gesture, but just something small. Like if you have kids and you see a kid with autism or special needs, I mean, it doesn't have to be autism. If they were able to be nice and try and make friends with them, play with them on the playground, something small, like be nice to your fellow human, just little acts are greater than just going online and just typing mean things to people who you don't agree with, or you think, oh, they're not doing enough and never mind what I'm doing, but they're clearly not raising the bar enough. So I'm going to stick to do more, say less, even though we say a lot.
Yeah. So I think my priorities during this month are really more education focused. So really educating the public about autism and then trying to actually act on that. In my local community, I decided out of the blue that I was going to do like a t-shirt campaign because I wanted to spread some awareness about the bullying that autistic kids go through. So for me, that is important. So I was like, okay, this is something I can do in my local neighborhood. I can make these t-shirts. I can put a story behind it. I can try to sell it, raise funds while I'm doing it, but also bring that story to light so that my local community knows what's going on. I even went as far as to like submit a story to like our local magazine and let them know about the bullying of autistic kids in our local community. So to me, it's more important to do those sorts of things and get the word out and really shine a light to these darker sides of autism so that society is more informed and more willing to make a difference. And overall, I did actually get a really positive reaction from the public. It did seem like they genuinely weren't aware that, oh my gosh, this is happening. I didn't know this. And they genuinely felt bad. So I think that actually made some positive change because now those people are probably going to be more conscious of like how their child is treating another child at the playground.
Even that is, I mean, helpful because obviously the t-shirts, but even just like the spreading awareness on a local level, even a very like one-on-one. So then individuals, parents can have these conversations with their kids, or they can be more proactive if they see their kid being mean to others on the playground. They can hopefully step in. I think it's good to start at a small local level than kind of trying to do kind of a top-down approach because obviously your community is where you have the greatest impact as an individual rather than across the country. I mean, you actually see the results kind of immediate from like a local community level, and then you can kind of spread change from that. So, I mean, it's great that we're focusing on our little neighborhood and community to start things out a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not trying to say that organizations or people that focus on like the fundraising aspect part are any lesser, because I mean, we're doing that. We are fundraising with a Wonderful Wagon VW4 drawing. Details are there, autismwish.org. But that does not mean that we can't also work on these more social specific issues and look at more the change that we can do individually as people, as opposed to relying on just throwing money at things. It's kind of like a dual pronged approach. Like, yes, we would like to raise funds. We would like to give back financially to the community through sensory gifts and such. But it's also important to complement that with education and information, because otherwise you're literally just throwing money at, quote unquote, the problem. That doesn't really do much.
Yep. Well said.
So I'm really curious to hear everyone else's thoughts on this. We decided to just talk about this topic because it tends to be so loud during this month, but maybe we're wrong. Maybe we just live in this little autism bubble, and maybe it's not so bad outside our bubble. So what do you guys think? Do you feel like Autism Acceptance Month does more harm than good? Are you guys feeling a lot of that tension too, or is it just us? Is there something else that you feel should be more important to talk about during Autism Acceptance Month rather than what tends to be talked about, which is the symbolism or language or things like that? What is it that you guys think is important to talk about during Autism Acceptance Month? Let us know in the comments, either on YouTube or Facebook at Autism Wish, or continue the conversation in our private Embracing Autism community. I'm actually really curious to know, because we will make changes based off of that. If you guys let us know what's important to you, we'd like to hear that information. It's good feedback so that we can fine tune things. Before we go, don't forget to become a member today. Go to autismwish.org for exclusive access to our private Embracing Autism community, where you can help support our mission while also finding your tribe of other parents in the same boat as you. Thanks for hanging out, and we will see y'all next time. Bye.
Bye.
This has been the audio from the Embracing Autism Podcast live stream series. Please check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@autismwish to catch these shows live. Otherwise, stick around next week for our next episode. This is Embracing Autism.